This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, a good Wednesday morning to you and a good morning for Steph Curry. He is now the all-time three-point shooting leader in the NBA, past the regular season mark of Ray Allen. When you combine the playoffs, he already had that one. But he got the regular season mark topping Ray Allen last night. Needed two, got five last night in Golden State's victory against the New York Knicks. We're going to talk about this because I think Steph Curry is one of those athletes. You don't see very many of them that change the way the game they play, they participate in, is played. And he is certainly one of them, with the just the infusion of the three-point attack in the NBA really sort of kicked in when Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors got rolling along. We'll talk about that and the impact of this record. It may seem like it's one of those statistics. It's just a list of records, right? It goes along with like John Stockton's assists, Wilt Chamberlain's points, you know, rebounds, I should say, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's points, all of that. There's all sorts of marks that have happened in the league where you say, well, that guy, he's, you know, who's going to catch that? And somebody eventually does. So we'll talk about whether or not we will ever see Steph Curry's record broken, how far he could go with this, still relatively young and one of the most accurate shooters in three-point history. We'll also talk about the NFL because COVID is ripping through the league right now. We'll talk about what the league will do about it. Will they have to cancel some games, move some games around? I'll give you one guess as to if they're going to do any of that. But it still asks the question, what can the league do and what should the league be doing in 2021? Last year with COVID, we were kind of flying around trying to figure it all out, get them all in. If we had to move games to a Wednesday, we moved games to a Wednesday. But there are some protocols in place, and the league is going to keep chugging along. But how much is this going to be impactful as we head to the final four games of the regular season? We got that, of course. And Mike Tomlin made a comment about Chase Claypool. We're also going to talk Steelers in hour number two on the show. We were trying to get that yesterday. We'll get that in today. He made some nice comments about Claypool. Didn't give up on him, but we'll talk about that as well. But coming up, Steph Curry and how he's changed the NBA, putting him in the category of other athletes who have changed the way their position is played, where their sport has been played. And we'll talk about his impact of the three-point shot coming up next as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on a Wednesday. Thank you for joining us on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Wednesday morning to you. This is Pearl Jam, right? I'm trying to remember back from my youth. Is this from the 10 album? Because I tore through the 10 cassette in my car in like summer of 92.
Who didn't?
Everybody had that album. Everybody
everyone
had
did.
That back then. Everybody had that.
Because grunge was still a new thing.
Grunge was a thing.
You had that, and you had Nevermind.
Yeah, Nevermind, of course. It was Soundgarden. Remember that?
Yep.
It was such a wild time. It was because it was like... It's really hard to describe how we as a music culture went from heavy metal, hair band, mascara, makeup to flannel shirts. Like, we literally went from one extreme to the other in a very, very short amount of time. It's a really good documentary about that. And the manager of Dokken, the lead singer of Dokken, was on, and he said how his manager told them, you don't need the mascara, you don't need the hairspray, you do not need the makeup, you do not need this. The industry is going in another direction, and they fired him. And then he went on to manage, like, Soundgarden and all these other... He just went, great, good, you guys... You had dinosaurs moving on to the grunge. And he became super successful with those bands in the late 90s.
They're looking really, back going, told you.
Yeah, really funny. It was just a funny interview where he just went, yeah, we fired him. And then he went on to manage Soundgarden. Like something like that. It's wild. Anyway, Steph Curry, the new three-point king last night, needed two and got five. He passes Ray Allen most all time. Good moment last night for Ray Allen. Did it at the Garden. And look, if you're not a real true, you know, basketball, super basketball fan, I get it. It's one of those statistics where you wonder, all right, you know, somebody's got to be the most 3-point, you know, make the most 3-point shot. So be it, right? Just like somebody has to have the most rebounds and somebody has to have the most assists. Somebody has to make the most points and somebody has to make the most free throws, right? Yeah, I get it. Baseball's similar, right? Somebody has to hit the most triples and somebody has to hit the most doubles. But this is different. I mean, I'm going to tell you why it's different. And I think it's different for this reason. When you look at the way the NBA was played before the emergence of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the Splash Brothers and what the three-point line was, how it was defended. You know, the three-point shot had been around a while and players like Larry Bird and they were really good at it and whatnot. I don't know, you can go down the list of shooters that were outstanding at it. But I think with Curry and his absolute deadly accurate three-point shot, I mean, he's over 40% for his career. It changed the way basketball was played. If you look at box scores today, it is very common to see teams try to attempt 40, 45, 50 three-point shots in a game. Right? It's not that mind-boggling anymore. That has now become a major weapon in the sport. And look through the box scores, and you routinely find teams knocking down 18 of them, 17 of them, 20 of them. It happens all the time. And it's because that particular aspect of basketball is now being utilized because it's a new way to play. If you were a defender back in the day, you could get to the three-point line, guard the perimeter, but teams didn't take a lot of three-point shots, so it wasn't necessary to guard the perimeter tightly. Now you do. You have to extend that defense. And not only that, it used to be you could just guard the line because nobody would shoot beyond the line, behind the line. And then Curry came along and he was knocking them from a couple of feet back. So now you have to go a little bit further. It's changed the way basketball is played. But I think another thing about Steph Curry is when you think about the evolution of his career, right? I mean, go back to his time at Davidson, for example, where he played off guard in his initial season with the Wildcats, changed to point guard. And when he got to Golden State, it was sort of the same thing, right? He started out as the shooting guard, but then moved to point guard. And that helped him open up the ability to get off shots, right? He could get Mark Jackson's early, when Mark Jackson was the head coach, Steph could get a lot of three-point shots playing the point guard position, and then Steve Kerr came along and sort of added, you know, just continued that element to his game, that strategical element to get Curry off of pick and rolls and everything like that. And Curry, because he could show the way he could hit a three, it wasn't that he was a corner three specialist, it wasn't that he was an off-the-wing specialist, straight-up specialist. He could shoot the three from anywhere on the court, and he could shoot the three in a variety of different ways. He could dribble to his left and knock down the three. He could dribble to the right and knock down the three. He could get it off the dribble. He can get it off the pass. There's just a million ways he could knock that shot down. And it just wasn't a guy that was good at that and the game remained the same. He was good at that, and the game changed as he was getting better and better and better and better at it. All of a sudden, teams were like looking around trying to find guys that could do that. And that's one of the reasons why you'll hear a lot of people talk about Curry, because he's still got a lot of years left in this league, hopefully, if he's healthy. He's still relatively young. And you wonder where he's going to end up, right? Like, how many of these is he going to get when it's all said and done? Right? He's got, what, 2,977 now? Because he needed two, got five. He could end up with 4,400 of them. I saw one where they projected this. Saw one article this morning where they were projecting how many threes Curry could have if he stayed healthy for another, like, 8 years, right? Or 9 years, whatever it was. And it's a big if. Don't get me wrong. It's a big if because, you know, this league takes its toll. And it's almost exponential. Like, as you get older, it's like, you start falling apart so much more quickly with all the stress you're putting on your body as an NBA player. But the ways Curry changed the game you may not see it in our lifetime, if you're but you may see somebody come close, because the game has changed so much that the volume of three-pointers that are now being heaved up is sort of the expectation now, right? Think about Babe Ruth hitting home runs back in the, you know, the 20s, right? Like, he had 60, and like the next guy was like 25, right? But then after a while, the new baseball player that was coming up, they were trying to hit home runs. They became home run hitters. You think about Tiger Woods in golf, for example. Tiger Woods was built, you know, he built a golf game around fitness, right? He was fit. He was strong. He could really overpower a golf course. And golfers before Tiger Woods, they didn't exactly hit the gym, right? They didn't exactly feel like their sport required that. It required, you know, a repeating golf swing, hit the ball, hit it with accuracy, make your short game, putts, all of those things. And Tiger came along and was like, well, I could drive it out. I can outdrive you. I'll hit my 9-iron further than you hit your 6-iron, and I'll outchip you, and I'll outputt you. And everybody on the PGA Tour went, okay, that's how we have to play now. And every young guy that's come up, the Justin Thomases, the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys, realized that if they wanted to play professional golf, that was the game they had to play now. That's what's happening now in the NBA is shooters. Give me shooters. We need this. This is now part of the way we do business. We're not going to get it to the big man. We're not going to have a center that's going to score 40 points a game and go to the line and get, you know, 19 rebounds. We're shooting the basketball. We're shooting the three. And think about this, too, about Steph Curry. Has there ever been an athlete, you could probably find one or two, but has there ever been an athlete where the question of whether or not what he does needed to be altered in the NBA more than Curry in the three-point line? I'm sure there were plenty of three-point shooters in the 80s and the 90s and whatnot where you said, we got to move this thing back. You know, we got to extend the three-point line. But I hear it more about the way Steph Curry shoots this basketball than any athlete, any NBA player I have ever seen. It is almost a given that eventually when the conversation comes about their ability, Golden State, especially when they had the Splash Brothers, their ability to knock down that three, I heard more and more debate about whether or not the NBA should make that line even further out than it already is. Because nobody was shooting the ball 3 or 4 feet behind the three-point line like Curry continues to do. And now you start seeing other guys do it. Right? Why? Why? Because that game is now in this league because of him. There are athletes who have changed their game. Right? Now, and I do not want to get this confused. Now hear me out here. I do not want to get this confused with the best player. Right? That's different. There are best players. I am talking about individuals who do one thing or two things so well that the league that they play in has to think about the way it now does business, right? That's the difference. Lawrence Taylor playing the linebacker position. Wayne Gretzky and his ability in open ice and playing the Gretzky rule, for example, that was implemented in hockey, where they, you know, if offsetting penalties, it used to be that if you had penalties, like if you had, Ron and I were in the penalty box for our teams, you'd have 4-on-4, right? And then the league had a rule because Gretzky and the Oilers were so good at exploiting that in open ice that they said, no, if we have offsetting penalties, we'll just remain 5-on-5 with the goaltender, right? And then they finally got rid of that because Gretzky was so ticked off at it. It was like, no, that's not the way it should be played. That's not the way the game is. That's not the way the rules are. You're changing the rules because I was good at something. And think about like I said earlier, the NBA, there's been so much debate about moving the three-point line. Why? Because he's good at it. He's so good at it now that everybody else is good at it. He's rising the boat, right? He's rising it up. He's making guys come into this league and hit that three better. He's making young players hit that three better. And the other factor about Steph Curry that's so important is, remember his size. He's 6'1". Right? He's not 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", right? He's 6'1". A lot of people are 6'1". A lot of basketball players are 6'1". And he's given them an option to try to get to the next level. Look, maybe you can't do certain things in this game because of your size, but if you can hit threes, you'll have a job. If you can really hit threes, you'll have a career. And people relate to that. people relate to that, especially if you are a high school student, a basketball player that is 6'1", right? I cover, like, I call high school games, high school basketball games, and I'm seeing it in the high school level. The amount of threes, so much more now than it was 10 years ago when I would do it. I'm seeing girls' games where girls are knocking down more threes. And it is because it's Curry, it was the Warriors, and everything was trickling down from the league set on him when he got into this league in 2009. So last night, again, to go back to the point, last night's record, right, that achievement is not just a guy setting a record in a statistical category within its sport. It's much, much more than that. It is the way the game is played now. He changed it. He has made it. What you see on your team screen, what you see in the box score, he has made that. He created that. The three-point line's been around a long time. He has made it so integral into an NBA's arsenal. So that record last night is just not a guy getting an assist record or, you know, a points record, whatever it is. That record means the individual that has helped change it now owns it. And he's going to take it to higher levels. We'll talk more about this coming up. And I thought about some athletes that, you know, are on the list of people who have changed their sport and what that means. We'll have that coming up as well. But coming up, Mike Tomlin speaking about Chase Claypool, what he said, and, you know, is it set sort of the tone for where the Steelers are going down the road? That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Doing the, is it Grunge Wednesday? Already? Is that what we're doing? I'm just curious. I can't hear Ron. I asked him a very nice question. Nevertheless, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers speaking yesterday.
Sorry.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
It is the worst when I go, oh, is this Grunge Wednesday? Dead crickets.
This is Grunge Wednesday. Why not Grunge Wednesday?
I don't know. Is he talking to me? I'm sorry. I was watching the Newhart show here at 4 a.m.
I'm looking at the TV. If I want to be honest with you, there's South
King
Park
of Queens
on.
Is really funny. I like this episode where Doug eats the cookies.
You know what? It's South Park. It's bringing me back to the 90s.
Jeez. Oh, goodness. So Mike Tomlin was talking about Chase Claypool yesterday. We'll get to that in just a quick second because he had some interesting things to say as a fatherly head coach, if that's how you want to say it. I have a car problem, but you don't know where to go. Maybe you're on the road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so as you know, nearly a week, I have complained about this Chase Claypool situation with the Steelers, where he went for that big first down show on a 4th and 2. He caught a 9-yard pass in the waning seconds of their game against Minnesota, decided not to give the ball back to the official to get and run to the line to throw another play down. Instead, he had to pause and do his first down mark. Had the ball knocked out of his hands, had to go get it, chase it. Meanwhile, seconds just ticking away. As the Steelers lose to the Vikings.
I thought it was because he couldn't find the referee.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. Wasn't that what he said? He couldn't find the referee, so that's what happened.
Can't find the referee when you're in the middle of your first down pose, right? Ugh. Nevertheless, so the Steelers are entering Sunday's game against the Tennessee Titans, and if you're a head coach, what do you do with this story, right? What do you do with this? You got the media who just chomping at the bit, guys like me who, by the way, I'm just a fan too. Just wanting to pounce on Chase Claypool for this idiocy and just can't wait, right? And if you're the head coach, you can be bitter at one of your better players at this and make it very uncomfortable for him. Or you can take the high road and sort of process it in a just sort of big picture aspect. And I think Mike Tomlin has done that. Speaking yesterday at his weekly press conference, Tomlin said, obviously he had a misstep in that area. He said misstep in other areas. He's a young guy that's growing and developing in a lot of ways. It can't happen fast enough for him, and it can't happen fast enough for us. We're going to continue to push that growth and development as long as he's a willing participant. He has been, and so we're going to keep moving forward. He's also added this. These guys don't come to you as finished products. That's another component of coaching that I embrace and we collectively embrace. It's the reason why we make what we make, and there are so many of us, because these guys are less than finished products in most instances when we get them. There's a growth and development that has to take place. You guys are witnessing growth and development in Deontay Johnson, not only in the quality of play and skills related to the position, but in maturity. He's a year older than Chase. That's going on all around us. We're seeing the pains of growth and development sometimes when young people have to participate. So that's Mike Tomlin being the sort of fatherly coach, right? I'm sure he's pretty upset. I'm sure after the game, when you look at the tape and you see that and you realize how many seconds it cost you, but you do, you know, he wants to be careful here. He's not going to bury him. He's not going to bury a young player and a young player with a lot of talent. What he wants to do is he would like a situation where Chase Claypool becomes mature enough and understands enough that when he, in a few years, when a young player, it doesn't matter wide receiver, whoever, does something dumb, he can say, yep, I was that guy too, and here's how we got to get over that. It can be a learning lesson. And
what is it about your receivers, man?
I don't know, man. They just come in and...
They go there. Is it a little too loosey-goosey for them?
It might be. I don't know.
I never hear about...
Antonio Brown. It was Mike Wallace, too. I mean, it was... Like, Hines Ward never had this problem.
No.
Like, Hines Ward never had this issue.
No, right? All you did
Deontay Johnson has grown up and matured. He had some issues.
Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. Keep going. Louis Lips from the 80s? Did he have a problem?
Maybe.
Chuck Knoll back in the day?
Lynn Swann? Let's go all the way back.
Are they all immature when they get to Pittsburgh? I like this approach from Tomlin. Look, if you're a coach, do you want to be like, it's a Tuesday and you want to still be yelling about this? Or do you want to be like, look, I got to figure out a way to get past this and show that we're past it? Because you need Chase Claypool, right? You want Chase Claypool. He's a good receiver. He's a really good receiver. He's got good hands. He at times in that game against the Vikings was important. There were times he made boneheaded plays. Other times he was really important. But I will tell you, it's one of those memorable moments that I think fans are going to have a hard time letting go, right? It's because it's you can be really angry because it wasn't a mistake. Like in this way, right? Let's say a receiver, he runs the wrong route, but in his heart, he thought he was running the right route, and it leads to an interception, right? And after the game, he goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. I was supposed to cut left. I ended up going deep. I was running the wrong route. My bad. Fans can go, all right, we understand that. Or if a player drops a pass that's in his hands, right? And he drops it. You're going to go, that stinks. You get paid to catch the football, but, you know, these things happen. Where fans really get mad is when you make a mistake that costs something like precious seconds because you're showboating, because you're making it about you, because you're putting the attention on you doing a dance or doing a little motion or doing my thing when I do something good. That we have a hard time forgiving, because it should be common sense that you need to get to the line. There's no excuse for not getting to the line of scrimmage. Like, you can drop a pass, you can misrun a route, you can make a mistake, you can not go out of bounds at times. Sometimes we even forgive players for not going out of bounds when they're supposed to go out of bounds. But for the love of Pete, if you cost your team seconds because you dance or do it, we have a hard time forgiving. I think yesterday Tomlin was trying to say, look, this kid's got a lot of growth to do, but we are here for that. We are here to guide him through that. And I think that was a good call by Tomlin. All right, we'll continue. We'll go back to Steph Curry, the record-setting three-point shooter in the NBA. We'll talk more about him next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And we'd love to hear from you on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Again, last night, Steph Curry got 5 3-pointers in their win against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. And with that, he becomes the regular season all-time three-point shooting king. Passing Ray Allen, and Ray Allen was on hand, and it was one of those records that I guess people, you know, like when you have a record like that, you expect it to be broken, you sort of embrace it being broken, and he did. So now Steph Curry is the, you know, three-point shooting king. The way he got there, how fast he got there, I mean, is just amazingly impressive. And as I was saying earlier in the show, it's not just another record of some sort in sports that get broken. I think this is a special record for the NBA because the way the NBA is right now, the way the NBA game is played with a reliance and a heavy reliance on the three-point shot. Like I said earlier, go through box scores. You'll see teams knock down 40. Try to knock down 40. They'll be like 18 of 42 or 17 of 47 or something like that. And I think that has a lot to do with the way Steph Curry changed the game. I mean, the numbers speak for itself. I mean, the percentage of the three-point shot that has increased since Curry arrived on the scene in the NBA is directly correlated. I mean, directly correlated to his arrival. It's, you know, that he's changed the way the NBA is played. So without being super hyperbolic here in terms of putting him in a category among some of the greatest athletes of all time, where does Curry fit in terms of athletes who have changed their game? Who have done something that makes the way their game is played completely different. I was saying this earlier about Tiger Woods, and I think Tiger Woods is a perfect example of this. The way golf was before Tiger and the way golf is now. Because what you do is you affect a generation, right? Generation that's playing golf now is very interested in a power game, a fit game, a game where you're good all the way around, but you stay in shape. You know, that you're not drinking 6 beers on the course and steak dinner and never hitting the gym. You could get away with that in the old days. I mean, you can go back and look at some golfers back in the 80s and 90s, and you could get away with that. But Tiger changed the way the game was played because he added a power element to it and a finesse element to it. And it was different than like when Jack was like Fat Jack in the 60s, because Jack could really hit the ball a long way too. But you could compete. The courses weren't longer, right? The courses didn't. You could still get around strategically, right? Jack could power a golf course, and he had an all-around game. But you didn't feel like you needed to change yours. You could get around Augusta National just fine, right? Jack could get around it better, but you could get around it just fine. But when Tiger came along, think about this in 1997 when Tiger won the Masters and he won by 12. Augusta made the course longer and tighter. They grew trees, right? And you look around at Augusta National now and guys are like, it's not as fun as it used to be, like in the 80s and 90s, where this course was open, no rough. You know, you could go out there and shoot birdies, you could go out there and shoot eagles. And then Tiger changed that. He made the course tougher. And he did that for a lot of courses. Right. Steph Curry is, in a way, changing the way NBA defenses have to play. They have to guard that perimeter a lot better. Right. They have to make sure that the 3-point shot doesn't hurt them. They have to bring in personnel that can defend shooters like that. And they have to bring in shooters who are capable of knocking down threes themselves. They need an element to that game if they're going to be competitive in the NBA. So just like a golfer in post Tiger said, all right, time to hit the gym now. Time to work on my game. I got to learn to drive at 320 yards now. And a generation that came up saying, well, this is how you get on the tour. You get on the tour by driving at 300 plus yards. You get on the tour by driving it that far and having an iron game that does this and having a short game that does that and staying fit. Rory McIlroy is ripped, right? Now, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas may not be like Adonises, but they stay in shape, right? They have learned and watched growing up what the game of golf became. Kids grew up watching Steph Curry knock three after three after three, and it has trickled down to the youth level. And now you're getting shooters in college. It is not uncommon to see a college team that not that long ago hardly ever used the three-point shot. Like, if you're in college and you can get a big man, you would utilize that to death, right? Because not a lot of teams had that. Now teams are getting shooters.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it's like the death of the center.
Exactly.
I couldn't even tell you right now who the most dominant center is.
And yeah, and it's a changing of the game. Because again, it's one extra point from knocking it from behind that arc. But when knocking it from behind that arc is the equivalent, it has the same effort as knocking down a short 15-footer, now you're talking about an entirely different way of doing a game. You know, it's like if you and I take 20 shots each and we make all 20 shots and I make all of mine in the paint and you make 5 from behind that arc, you're winning the basketball game. So now you have to change your offense. You have to say, well, we need an element of that too. And that's Curry's influence, right? You know, and again, is this record the same? Is it going to have that same feel of unattainability as, let's say, Wayne Gretzky's points, which no one will ever get to? I mean, Jaromír Jágr is second in points in NHL all time. He's nowhere near Wayne Gretzky. He's nowhere near it. I think Jaromír Jágr, who played into his mid-40s, would need to have played hockey into his 60s to amass the same amount of points as get anywhere near Wayne Gretzky, right? Yeah. This has that potential when he's all said and done and being an unattainable record. But as people have been pointing out, because you've influenced a generation, it wouldn't be that surprising if there is a young player right now who's not in the NBA who comes on as strong at hitting those shots and surpasses him at some point.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because now people are actually practicing it.
Right, exactly.
Where before, there were people who didn't. You know, I mean, you didn't really practice a three-point shot. It was there. But the one thing that Steph does have over anyone else, I mean, I don't even know if it's a record. I saw it flashed on one of the screens in here. He has like 76,000 miles of three-pointers.
Wow. Because and that's the point I was making earlier. You would defend the three-point line at the line, right?
Yeah.
You could dig your heels at the line and nobody was going to shoot it 5 feet behind that. That's insane.
Let alone Curry, 20.
Curry does all the time.
Yeah, for him, it's almost like once he gets in front of the half line, it's fair game.
Everywhere on that court is fair game. He'll shoot it from anywhere he sees fit. I'm trying to emphasize how remarkable his influence is on the way the modern NBA game is. I'm not kidding. This isn't an NBA that was leaning towards the three-point shot and then he took it to the next level. It's a dramatic difference between the amount of threes teams took before his arrival in the NBA and that they do now. It is a dramatic difference. It's a dramatic percentage difference of what the NBA offense was prior to 2009 to what is it now. Now, it took a couple of years, right? He didn't come and immediately change it. It was gradual. But as they were getting dominant, and this is Klay Thompson's addition too, right? As they were getting dominant, NBA teams started reacting and changing. So this record is more about that. About a guy doing the one thing that changed the look of the league. That's why this record is important, right? It's not like in baseball if a guy set a record for the most triples in a career, right? Because Major League Baseball teams wouldn't be like, you know, before we used to try to hit home runs, but ever since Joe Smith got into the league, we try to go for as many triples as possible.
No, but you know,
it's just one of those things where, like, he's got the most triples, yay.
Okay, similarly, like, to Steph Curry, I would say something along the lines like maybe Lou Brock changed the game.
Sure.
With stolen bases.
Right, stolen bases.
But
right,
then
adding an element to that.
But then Ricky Henderson came and perfected it.
Sure, right.
And I think Ricky Henderson has marks, I think, that are unreachable.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's in today's game. We don't know. I mean, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, maybe there is a guy that could eclipse 130 stolen bases in a year.
Sure. And again, it's I think we've had this conversation in golf before, right, where we've talked about Tiger Woods when he was winning all these majors and then, you know, chasing Jack. And then we said, okay, he's not going to get Jack's record, right? But could somebody break Jack's record? And while it feels like that can't happen, you never know where the next Tiger Woods is coming from, who was so influenced by Tiger Woods, right?
Could be Charlie.
It could be Charlie. But there could be a young kid out there who's got the natural gifts, who is following the blueprint of the one guy that changed golf, who said, all right, you want to win golf tournaments? You want to win majors? That's how you do it. Curry came in. He perfected the three-point shot. Now teams are using the three-point shot. And there'll be somebody coming up who went, yeah, I'm 6'2", 6'3", 6'1", and the way I got to be good at basketball, the way I could get a scholarship, the way I could get noticed was being a dead-eye shooter, right? And that's what he's become. That's what he does. And you see it. Like, you know, my daughter's team, right? There are a few girls who can't do anything else. I mean, this is not a rip to them, but they can shoot. They can shoot. I mean,
I hope they're not listening.
I hope they're not listening either.
They but can't defend. They can't rebound.
Believe me, we had the parental discussions about these things. Seriously, like, they can't defend. They're not fast, right? They're not quick, right? But you give them the ball in the corner every time. Swish, swish, swish. Right, they practice the hell out of those shots, and a lot of them are influenced by Curry. I guarantee you, if just on my girls' basketball team, if you went around and asked what their favorite teams were, probably you'd get 9 Golden State Warriors. Right, the Memphis Grizzlies, nah, a little boring, but 9 Golden State Warriors. Right, and that's, you can probably find that. That's a microcosm for teams all over the United States. Right. High school teams, AAU teams, whatever it may be, travel teams, you could find one or two kids, boy or girl, that is not good at a lot of things, but my God, they can knock down the three constantly, constantly. And it again, it's had that trickle down effect. And it's just the way, you know, think about like the first running quarterback, the quarterback, like probably somebody thought he's got the most rushing yards of any quarterback early in the in football's history. You're like, that's a dumb statistic. But then all of a sudden it became part of the way some quarterbacks were being utilized. Right.
Like, I always think about that. For me, the first rushing quarterback in my mind was Randall Cunningham.
Yeah. For me, it was like Fran Tarkington.
It was specific. I mean, I know Steve Young ran a lot.
Sure.
As well, you know, Fran Tarkington, Randall. But Randall Cunningham to me was like, he was like, it's like a running back who can throw.
I got you. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And now, you know, I mean, it's almost like every team needs to have one unless you have a dead accurate arm.
And that's where it is. And I just want people to know it's not just a statistical record that was broken. There's something larger that's in play here. And that's why it's being celebrated today. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour two, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. You don't want to miss that. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. The Super Bowl has been moved in 2024 from New Orleans to Las Vegas. This was a matter of time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it was just...
It's a
like
no-brainer.
They were dying to send this thing to Vegas, and then New Orleans went, hey, yeah, thank you for going to 17 games and extending the Super Bowl, because now you're interrupting Mardi Gras. So thanks for that. So the Super Bowl went, okay, we'll take it out of there for Mardi Gras, and we'll just... Where can we go?
Is there another party town in the United States?
Yeah, is there another place we used to shun, but now we accept? Yes, there is! Let's go to the... let's go out to the new Vegas stadium.
And do they fit the criteria of having a brand new sparkling stadium?
Exactly.
That has all the features and amenities?
Yep, sure does. 2024.
And another place that they have enough hotel rooms, right? Because that's always an issue.
That's the other thing.
We don't need to bring in some cruise ships, Jacksonville.
I have got to go to the Super Bowl in Vegas. I have got to.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but here's the thing. I was talking to my wife about this the other day.
And I said, my wife and I haven't been back to Las Vegas in a long time. I went for the Mountain West Conference basketball tournament in like 2003 and 2004. But my wife and I haven't been back since we lived there we lived there from 1997 to 2000. And I said, we got to go back and, you know, just to see it. And she goes, I don't know. And I go, honey, they got a hockey team and an NFL team now. Like we were dying.
Soon to be a baseball team there.
Soon to be a baseball team when the A's finally get their act together and move.
Just a matter of time before a basketball team shows up.
I said, look at where they put the stadium is right behind Mandalay Bay in the Luxor. It's right there. You know, my parents are going out for Christmas. They're going to go out to Vegas and then see my sister in Los Angeles.
They're never coming back.
I think they're staying at one of the bottom end. Yeah, I know, right? I think they're staying at one of the hotels at the bottom end of the Strip. They're going to be able to see this brand new, spanking new football stadium that's out there. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't gone out there yet. And the Super Bowl there is going to be in 2024.
So I don't know if I'd want to go to a Super Bowl there.
What? Like Super Bowl week?
Well,
or just
maybe,
the Super Bowl.
You know what? Super Bowl week. I guess you'd be on the scene to cover some shenanigans you know are bound to happen.
Don't you think they would give us some fun things to do while we're there?
Probably.
I would probably.
Is
come
there anything
back...
fun to do in Vegas?
Yeah. Is there something fun to do in Vegas? We could go see Carrie Underwood. No,
there you go. Yeah.
The Fountains of Bellagio. I'd have to be looking for things that were free.
Yes.
My wife would not send me with any money if I went to Vegas for the Super Bowl.